Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
So today, it's got to be a good day. Today, it's gonna be a good day. Today, it's gonna be a good day. Good
there we are on the Good Day program. Aren't you glad you've joined these wonderful people to support us, supporting you, bringing you a better day? Jennifer Horn, Ken Kessler, Rich McFadden, people in the news. Amanda Knox, K-N-O-X, has her appeal. Italy's highest court expected to rule on her challenge of the guilty verdict and the 28-and-a-half-year sentence. Why? She's over here. She didn't. She got found guilty in absentia.
Well, she can't go back over there. She'd be an idiot to go back.
So why would you go back? Why would you waste all that time and money? Just don't go back to Italy.
What's yeah, but the, I think I you still this. Have this. It probably would prevent her from traveling certain places. And
really?
I mean, you'd want to get it cleared up. If someone said you committed murder and you didn't think you did, wouldn't you want to, you'd want to get rid of that?
Nah. It'd be fun. A great conversation piece. Hey, Amanda Knox
Guess
is here
what?
At the party tonight, folks.
I'm wanted for murder. Hey.
Listen. Not stranger quite. Things have happened. All right, let's see here. Scott Kelly, another person in the news today. You know who he is?
Scott Kelly. No,
Kenny,
tell me.
Well, Kenny knows. I'd be cheating to ask him. Scott Kelly is the astronaut that's packing up for a year in space. His brother is married to Gabby, right? Isn't that this is the twin, if my memory serves me correctly. Am I right, Kenny? There were two brothers that were in the... Is that right? Or am I on the wrong page?
I'm not Seems sure, but I'll see if I can find out.
Yeah, no, I think he's the brother. There's the fellow that was Gabby's wife was an astronaut.
Mark Kelly.
Yeah, no, this guy's right? his brother. Right. Yeah.
Could be.
Right. So he is he's using a superhero utility belt to hold tools for his stay aboard the International Space Station when he goes up. But he's the two of them look a lot alike. And isn't it interesting? I think it's the first time in history that there have been brothers, twins, that were in the
They are
space
twins.
Service. Right, yeah. They don't quite look the same, but I thought that was pretty interesting. And probably not a lot of people knew that. So here you are getting another piece of information,
a tidbit
that you would not hear anywhere else on the planet.
What will we do without you, Doug Steffen?
I don't know. I'll tell you something. When I see this lady who's 104 years old, rang in her birthday with her lifelong medical advisor, Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, she drinks three of them a day, right?
Elizabeth Sullivan is her name, another person in the news, member of that over 100 club, lifelong habit. This is sort of against convention in any number of ways. Dr. Pepper, she drinks three of them a day, every day. Last week, she had her 104th birthday. Lots of Dr. Pepper. She said they were very nice. They brought her a bunch more Dr. Pepper. Are you kidding? They should give her free Dr. Pepper for the rest of her life. What an ad.
Mm-hmm.
She started drinking Dr. Pepper 60 years ago.
Just what the doctor ordered. Remember, that was their tagline.
Apparently, yeah. Yep. So the fellow that runs Dr. Pepper, Larry Young, heard about her and sent her a gift. We saw this as a unique opportunity to ring in her big 104. Yeah, of course you did. You saw this as a big opportunity to plug the hell out of Dr. Pepper. Yeah,
that's right.
But whatever.
Right. Yeah, right. All right, so this lady lives in Fort Worth, Texas. Had a cake resembling the can of diet. Did they milk this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Doctor said, are you careful about what you eat? And she said, certainly not. I drink three Dr. Peppers a day. And the doctor said, oh, my goodness, that's too much sugar. You'll die if you keep drinking that.
She said, oh, yeah, doc? Watch me.
Oh, my God. Isn't that
my
funny?
Favorite part of that is then 10 years later, he died and she had to get a new doctor.
Sucker.
Jennifer has the television report in a few moments. Interesting things going on with Dancing with the Stars. Doctors, speaking of doctors, Kenny, being trained for emotional conversations with the terminally ill. There's a new push for doctors at the end of your life to tell you this the story. How many people think that their doctor sugarcoats whatever your doctor tells you? Honestly, do you think the doctor is honest with you? When you go in and they tell you, I remember this. I remember actually a couple of instances where this happened in my life. The doctor would say, listen, you're going to live to be 100. You're a healthy guy. Yep, yep. And I am. Fortunately, I got, knock on wood, good certain genetic things that my father said, but I've taken care of myself for the most part. The situation with whether your doctor tells you the truth or not, I think is, I don't know, but characterize it as a problem, but I think that all too often the doctor's patch, yeah, you're doing fine. How often you heard that from people whose doctor said, you're doing great, guy drops dead tomorrow of a heart attack, or like, there's just...
You know, I don't know if that's the story for me so much. I think that there needs to be some work on doctor's bedside manner. I mean, I had a doctor who is, by the way, a friend of my family, has been my family doctor. I mean, it was my dad and my grandparents' family doctor.
Yeah.
Tell me when my grandmother had a stroke, she'll be dead in 3 days. Just like that. Hmm. And I remember saying, oh, and I let him have it. And she lived for four years, yeah, something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
So I think there needs to be that fine line between being over. You need to get the information out, the information that's important, but it needs to be delivered with compassion. I think there's a fine bridging of the truth and compassion when you're a doctor. That's tough. I don't think a lot of people can do it, but that should be a skill that you have if you go into that profession.
You know who's best at that of all the people that
Dr.
I know
Ken.
Who are associated with this program is Ken. Yep.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't tell you that, well, Bruce doesn't deal with people in their final moments. Jack doesn't. Ron Hoffman might. His bedside manner is good as well. And I don't know, frankly, Dr. Chambers that well. That might be a question that we ask him because he's going to join us in a few minutes. Here's something that's from the Oops department. Oops.
Oops.
Oops. And the reason I'm thinking about this is because yesterday I got a call from the people in Israel who have had me back and forth four times, and they want me to come over in May again. To, I'm sure, sort of sanitize the Netanyahu. That's always the case. Whenever there's, and I understand this game. This fellow who invited me over is a guy that I've gotten to know, and he's probably listening right now. He listens to the program. So the business about Netanyahu and the sort of hubbub that's been created around the world because of some of the things that he said. For example, apparently he's sorry for warning in the last hours of the election last week that the country's Arab citizens were voting in droves. Well, that may or may not have been the case, and not likely that a lot of them would have voted for him. But just the idea, this is that sort of fog or the cloud that comes over generalizations. Just because you live in Israel doesn't mean that you're Jewish or have to be Jewish.
Right. And
there are tons of Christians
vote,
that live in
so
Israel,
that's how
and tons of Arabs.
People to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But this was the scare tactic. This would be like somebody down in rural Mississippi saying, you better get out and vote because all the blacks are getting out to vote. Saying to somebody in some white, oh man, if I keep going with this, I was about to say... I was about to stick my foot in it. But anyway, you get the drift of what I'm saying, right? Get out the vote because the other guys will win. And you don't want those other guys, the undesirables, to win.
Here's the thing. How sad that we have to say and threaten people. Everybody should be going to vote. It's so stupid.
That was one of the only things that I thought Obama said that made sense recently. Is that we ought to have, although I don't like the plan, everybody ought to be
forced
to vote.
No, I hate that. You should go and register like everybody else.
Go because you're smart.
But everybody should, and everybody should do that.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a problem. Wait a minute. What are we doing here? I'm late.
We're talking about TV, maybe.
I know, yeah, but Kara, if she does, why don't you see if we can move her to the next half hour. When are we doing Pilla? Is that the next half hour, Kenny?
Yeah.
So maybe we do him. Well, maybe we won't do him. Let's see how the pieces
fit. What's happening?
Behind the scenes in
so
radio.
Confused.
You know how I got distracted? I have my web open to the DougStephan.com website, and I just saw the picture of Miles that made it, it's posted on the website. He's the cutest. Look at that smile on his face in his crib.
I think he looks a lot like you.
Really?
I do.
A lot of people think he looks like his father. Really? You think he looks like me?
A little bit.
Yeah, Megan looks just like me. If you look at me and look at Megan, you think you're looking at the same person.
Yes.
Well, from the neck up, anyway. she looks a lot like my mother. The smile, this kid has made very little fuss about much of anything. He's discovered his hands and his feet, and he's trying to get them in his mouth all the time, which is cute. He pushes himself around in the crib, which is kind of neat. And he loves to go outside. He loves, loves, loves. Megan now bringing him everywhere. They take him on walks. Bring him. We're going to have lunch today. Bring him this. I think this is the first time he's gone to a restaurant, though. Brendan and Megan and I are going to meet for lunch today with Miles. And it'll be cute to see how he is with. And everybody goes by, oh, look at that cute little baby, which is appropriate. 15 before the hour. Let's see what we're going to do here. We have to draw. Let me talk about it with everybody off the air. Stand by.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Are you stuck trading time for money? You know, you do your time and in exchange, your employer gives you money.
Author Danny Johnson says, break the time is money mindset. Stop fitting your lifestyle around your work. Adjust your work to fit your lifestyle.
How? By remembering just one thing. How hard you work matters little. How much you produce makes all the difference.
How do you spend a typical day? Write it down, then conduct some analysis.
How much time do you spend on tasks which help you create the life of your dreams?
Focus on those tasks, the ones which produce the results you want.
Eliminate all the others and you'll get more of the results you want. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Expense statements, tax returns. Well, it's human nature, but some of them are going to be fakes fabricated to bring maximal return to the creator. But is there a way to spot a fake expense statement or tax return? Here's the science of it. Of course, it goes without saying honesty is the best policy. Make sure the receipts match the numbers. But every now and then, it's necessary to recreate documentation that has been lost. People who have a tendency to fake expense statements use dollar figures with way too many threes and seven. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, to determine fakes, mathematicians look for excessive use of repeated numbers. To avoid the problem, go for honesty and count your sevens and threes before you turn it in. Questions? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. British marine experts have announced that stranded whales on British beaches will be killed by lethal injection rather than trying to refloat them into the safety of deep water. Researchers say that most beach whales in Britain have fatal damage to their internal organs once they beach and are being made to suffer as a result of what they're calling doomed attempts. But if there's a high chance of success, they will attempt to refloat the whales. Many of the whale breeds can be found in American waters, too, like the sperm, beaked, and northern bottlenose whale, which normally live and feed in deep water. However, dolphins and porpoises, which tend to arrive in mass strandings, won't be lethally injected by the British unless they're also found to be seriously ill. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Trying to figure out how we best use Beth Kallmeyer, who is here. She's Vice President of Constituent Services for the Alzheimer's Association. I think this is an important conversation. There's a new report that's been issued by the Alzheimer's Association, facts and figures and that sort of thing. So, Beth, welcome to Good Day. Tell us about the facts and figures. What's new here in this report?
Thanks, Doug. It's great to be here. So the new 2015 Alzheimer's Association Facts and Figures Report looked at how doctors give diagnosis to their patients. And so what we found was that Alzheimer's disease is treated differently than other diseases in terms of how the doctors talk about them to the patients. So only 45% of people with Alzheimer's disease were told by their doctors that they had the disease. And that's compared to 90% for other diseases, cancers and things like that. And so, you know, the Alzheimer's Association stresses the importance of knowing a diagnosis. Imagine that your doctor doesn't tell you you have cancer. That wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But this is happening for people with Alzheimer's.
Well, we were just talking about that a few minutes ago, about how doctors oftentimes glad-hand their patients and don't tell them the truth. So telling people about the Alzheimer's and dementia problem, and I had an exam because I wanted to know what was going on with me, to find out what I had a brain scan done by a company called Cerascan. And, you know, there are questions that come up sometimes. That's the especially, and this is the sort of new science, the diagnostic side of it. But once you get into it, how do you feel diagnosis is better now and more positive, or is it getting at the truth of things earlier so people can maybe do something before they get full-blown Alzheimer's?
People are getting diagnosed earlier. You know, a skilled clinician can make this clinical diagnosis. It's a rule-out diagnosis, which means they look at a lot of other things, and then they figure out whether it's Alzheimer's disease. And when people get this diagnosis early, then they can make important plans for their life. They can look at their legal planning, their financial planning. Perhaps they can participate in a clinical trial.
Well, that's it. There's a lot of there's a natural approach to it, what you eat, the fish and blood pressure and all that sort of stuff. And there are drugs that are being developed. So it's not like it used to be a death sentence. It's not so much anymore.
Well, it does remain a fatal brain disease, but it
right. But
goes
I'm saying, if you can get at it, you can modify sometimes what goes on. At least that's what I'm told. There are 5 million people in our country who have Alzheimer's.
That's right, 5 million people, and the sixth leading cause of death. Mm. And we do know that when people take steps to take care of themselves, to build a care plan, to look at how they want to live their life with it, and when they're diagnosed early, they can take part in that and make those decisions, and that's really important. The other thing that I think the Alzheimer's Association thinks is really important is that doctors are given education, as well as med students, so that they can give the diagnosis, so they tools and resources, so they know how to give them the diagnosis in a way that's sensitive and that allows them to make those decisions.
Well, that's, I think, the most important part, but you got to have the information. It has to be given. Check out the Alzheimer's organization, ALZ.org, to find out more about this study. 51 after the hour on Good Day.